Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, another episode. Man, I don't know why I say episode.
I don't either.
That word. Why do I say that?
I don't know. I had an episode once.
Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton.
I got some medication. It calmed it down.
Are you working? Mm. Are you normal now?
No.
There's Mark Halleck right there.
Hey, guys.
I'm Dan Hurst. There's Kyle Bierman at the other end of the table. We are at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. As opposed to seminaries that are not theological.
That's right, untheological.
And we are, this time, we're not in the Spurgeon Library.
No, we're not. We're not. They kicked us out.
They moved us to the library, and Clifton couldn't find it.
I know. I've never been to the library before.
He went to school here, and he couldn't find the library.
I teach here, too, and I couldn't find it.
I knew they had one. That shirt you got on.
Yeah, I know. It's quite a shirt, isn't it? You guys take a look at that. That's pretty good.
What is that kind of like?
I don't know. It's loud and it's loud and it's here and it's in person. It's like me.
Did Jill pick that out?
It's loud and proud. Probably did actually.
It's kind of holiday-ish.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's kind of fun.
I'm a good looking old man.
You are.
Speaking of good looking old man, you know that's kind of back in vogue now.
It is. I hope.
And it's kind of. I was reading one of my GQ articles, you know, I follow them.
Yes, I'm sure.
They were talking about the older look is back.
Well, there you go.
So,
you and I are in good shape.
We're happening. So, which kind of leads us to what we're going to talk about today, and that is relics of the past
in churches
that are coming back.
That's right,
in churches.
And you know, we've talked about this often. You have pointed out that most churches that are not most, but many churches that are in revitalization or in a replant situation are churches from the past.
Yeah.
That are old buildings with old setups, old carpeting, old pews, you know, everything, you know. And they're needing a revitalization just in the physical plant itself. And so Rainer wrote this, right?
Yeah, Tom wrote this. If anybody knows about relics, it's Tom Rainer. He's older than me. I love that. That's the only thing. When I did the podcast with Tom, I felt young and fit.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm sorry. Sorry, Dr. Rainer. Anyway, he wrote this really good article. 20 relics of the past. And what he did was he asked a basic question on social media. What do you have in your church 10 years ago that you no longer have today? Isn't that a great question?
Yeah.
Other than people.
Yeah.
What do you
what
do you have in your church 10 years ago that you no longer had today? So he gave, these are his top 20 answers that he received on social media from that question. And so number one, Mr. Halleck,
Okay. And are we talking about what are these, some of these are coming back?
Mark and I are going to tell you which ones are coming back.
Oh, okay.
Because we have the gift of prophecy.
Okay.
That's right.
So we use it wisely.
Yeah.
So here's number one, the first relic, Sunday evening services.
They went old. I mean, they disappeared.
Because listen, growing up, I mean, this was standard, right? I mean, churches,
sure.
I mean, every church, every Baptist church for sure.
Sure.
Well, not only that, but we had the evening version of Sunday school called Training Union.
Yeah. Sunday evening service disappeared quicker than
look like? What would
quicker? You didn't let me get my joke in.
Get your joke. Get it in.
Sunday. I've been planning this all day.
He's got a new writer.
Sunday evening services disappeared quicker than Dan's hairline. Thank you.
He's here all week, folks.
They just went away.
They just went away.
And they were very much a part of our culture, and they disappeared very, very quickly. Fewer and fewer churches meet on Sunday night now. I mean, dude, when we grew up, it was I never got to see Bonanza. I never got to see the Wonderful World of Disney. They were on Sunday nights. Yeah.
How would it be different than Sunday morning service?
Not much difference.
I remember one time when Dan and I planted a church. I should say the Lord planted it, although it didn't go real well, so maybe we did. But we
did not fertilize well.
We did not. So we planted a church in the early 1980s, and we had Sunday morning worship in Sunday school. We had evening training union and evening worship. And Sunday morning, we'd have, I don't know, 100 people. Sunday night, 25 or 30. And, you know, we'd have a really good service on Sunday morning. I'm going to get so much trouble for this. We'd have a really good service on Sunday morning, right? Just really good. The church was growing. It was full of young people. It was a brand new church, had a brand new building. And then we'd come back on Sunday night, and the young people weren't there. They didn't come because they had their kids at home, and they were. And so we had a bunch of older people come. And it was just not the same thing. And Dan said to me, you don't remember this. You said, man, Sunday night feels like a dry heave. You did.
I did.
You
not.
Said that. I've never forgotten that. Like, it's just not productive at all. You know, why do we need to come back on Sunday night? We had such a good, glorious morning. Then we come back and just like it's a dry heave. Like, nothing comes up. I, you know, obviously the history is that years ago you traveled several miles by horse and wagon to get to church. You saw everybody once a week. You stayed all day. You yep. ate dinner. You had another meeting. Then you went home.
Yep.
That was the idea. Well, that got into our culture, mm-hmm. having Sunday morning mm-hmm. and Sunday night. Also used to have blue laws, which means everything was closed on Sundays.
Okay,
so
right.
Sunday was set aside for church. Couldn't go to the grocery store. Couldn't go to the mall. Everything was closed.
Yep.
So you came back to church on Sunday night, yep. right? And that was just part of our culture. How was it different? You used it sometimes more informal. Usually yeah. you didn't have a choir. You may not have had a real order of worship. I know a lot of times my dad would just, we would just say, who's got a favorite hymn? We just call out numbers of hymns yeah. and just sing people's favorite hymns. Oftentimes you'd have a testimony meeting.
Yeah.
Anybody got a testimony they want to share? Yeah. It was more informal.
Yep.
Wasn't a bad thing at all. In fact, frankly, guys, my warmest memories of church are not Sunday morning. They are Sunday night, that informal Sunday night where people gave testimonies and we sort of just called out hymns. And it seemed my dad seemed a lot more relaxed in his preaching, but it just went away.
Interesting.
It went away because people's schedules changed. Blue laws came and went, yep. and now stores are open and people work 7 days a week.
So here's my observation.
Yeah.
I would say for the most part, Sunday evening services continue, obviously, the culture's only gotten busier. I do think it's interesting. In some circles, I see guys trying to bring it back because I think part of this, in light of the biblical illiteracy that we're facing, I think for some guys, there's this fascination, and I see this in me, of like Lloyd Jones and some of these old guys
yes.
who they did it, and it's like, man, if we're serious about preaching,
yes.
like, let's do this. The problem is I've had buddies try it, and it's just very difficult.
It's because you're not Lloyd Jones.
Well, that's true. If you're Lloyd Jones, you're going to get a crew.
I would come back on Sunday
night.
And, hear
yeah, yeah, yeah.
and, of course, Dever has it, Sunday night.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think there's some of that.
So some of it, it's returning a little bit in some circles.
I would agree. It yeah. is returning a little yeah. bit. So we're looking at these relics are returning.
That's right.
And it is a relic because yep. there's no doubt about it.
Totally.
I mean, Dan mentioned train union or church training. Some of you don't have any idea what that was, but it was a discipleship kind of thing, like Sunday school. It happened on Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much we want to get into this.
Let's keep going. We got 20
well,
of these.
What's happened is a lot of churches brought it back to a degree where it's like one time a month they might mm-hmm. do an yeah. evening service. And they'll call it like a praise service or a prayer.
I want these guys who are in their 20s and 30s to know this. Well, in training union, church training.
Yeah.
The part of it, that was to train you up to be a leader. And so it was very structured. And so in training union, everybody, you would get this book. It was like a Sunday school book, but it was for Sunday night, and it was a Bible study book, but it would have parts in it. And if you grew up in Southern Baptist, you know, if you didn't, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But if you grew up, you know exactly, do you have your part ready? In other words, everybody that came to training union had a part that they were going to share that night. You came prepared and you shared your part.
Mm.
And it was just part of our vocabulary. And you learn from that who might be a good teacher. Everybody got to share a part. So you have a part. So
interesting.
Part of my part. That part belonged to me. I didn't make up a song. There's a song made up about this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's like part, part of my part. That part belonged to me. I studied hard for my part last night till after 3. And then when you were reading the part that came before, you read 2 of my paragraphs, and you better not do it anymore. Anyway.
Oh, unbelievable.
I can't believe you remember that.
I can't either.
Only here, folks.
So
only here.
That was church training and then evening worship. Gone.
Okay. Gone. Gone.
I don't think church training's coming back. Evening worship might be coming back.
Okay, number 2. What about the stand and greet time?
Oh, man,
I hope it's gone.
We have that in many churches.
Yeah, we do too. We still have it. And I'll be honest with you, it's part of the commercial break that we do.
Interesting.
You know, we'll start with worship. and then we'll do a commercial break because we've got a, you know, it's like a word from our sponsors.
So like,
know,
so like video, like, is it like a video announcements or something?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, they'll do video announcements, but they'll always come back. No, stand and greet your neighbor, you know, that sort of thing, which is so awkward. Yeah, and particularly in our church, which is has a huge auditorium, if you're up in the balcony and people are like, you know, 20 feet away, you know, and you got to step over pews to get to somebody. Most people up in the balcony just stand there kind of looking at each other.
I think I'm privileged to be the teaching pastor of the largest church I've never pastored a church more than 150 people. And they have a greet time, stand and greet somebody around you. They sing a song or two, and then they have a greet time. Mm-hmm. I can tell you the people, the members like it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure unchurched people would like it. Yeah. I think they might or might not. I don't know. But from my perspective, and this is just me, all right? I'm not into the regulated principle here. You don't have a Mark Clifton regulated principle. This isn't in the Bible. I find it disruptive from the order of worship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I'm singing two songs focused on God and His Word, and then we take a break, and I stand up and I turn around and I just chit-chat with people about how you doing, it's good to see you. It seems like an unnecessary break in the worship.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think, you know, to encourage your people to be greeters before and after service.
There you go. Yep.
But I think the stand and greet time, it's definitely going away.
Yeah.
I can't think of a brand new church I've ever been to that has a stand and greet time.
It does it, yeah.
Do
yeah.
you?
No. What we've seen in like in our churches is we do it at the very beginning. Now, part of that is warmth. I think there can be a place for it, but it's the same reason. Like, we don't want to interrupt worship. Yeah. It's like once the call to worship, like, we're in, man. Let's focus on worship. But I'm with you, though, man. I get it. I mean, it's got to be the right culture of a church, too, because it can be super awkward.
Yeah.
It can feel forced.
I agree. It's culturally. You know? I think there are places in the South where it's, you know, I remember I took some kids from Quebec down to Atlanta one time, two college kids to a conference in Atlanta, and they'd never eaten at Waffle House. So it was like midnight, and so I say, hey, we'll stop at Waffle House on the way over to the airport. We stop at Waffle House, and the waitress comes over, and she puts her hand on my shoulder. She said, sweetie, what do you want? And I said, well, these guys want this. She said, okay, honey, that'd be great, and she said again, well, sweetheart, you come back. And we get in the car, and in their broken French English, they said, how long have you known her? I said, I don't know her at all. But she called. That's just the
South. That's the South, yeah.
So there's probably this sense.
It's a good point.
In some cultures, you would. Other cultures, you wouldn't.
Yeah, that's very true.
But
the modification of that is just the greet without the stand.
Yeah.
But it's going away.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Number three, suit and ties.
Going away, but coming back.
We got some thoughts on this
one. Going away, but coming back.
Yeah, I'm all about suit and ties.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that.
Obviously, suits and ties went away. I think Rick Warren had a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the early 1980s, you know, his church blew up to 3,000 or 4,000 pretty quick, and he's up there in Hawaiian print shirts.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, that's really cool. You know, I want to be like that.
That doesn't feel churchy.
Yeah. And the whole thing of the seeker-sensitive thing, which was huge, and that's got a bad rep now, but I'm telling you what, in the early 1980s, it was everybody wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to reach lost people.
Right.
And so the whole church was seeker-sensitive, and the idea that you want to, that's why we're going to talk about pulpits in a minute. That's why we moved the pulpits away, so we have nothing between us and the people.
Mm.
And we wanted to dress casual, be like everybody else, and all of that. And so now I'm amazed that I can go to a really large church, and the, you know, the pastor has his shirt untucked and he's in jeans and sneakers, and then I go home and I watch ESPN and the announcers are in suits.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going, okay, what's the deal with this? Yeah. Why are these guys always suited up, and in church we're not? Nothing has gotten me more hate mail than when I talk about, I think guys should probably suit up. I mean, did Jesus wear a suit? Y'all, that seven or eight of you always send that to me.
Well, dude, let me say this, though. But this, if people don't know your story, this has been a huge shift for you.
Yeah.
Because you were the dude with the bleached hair.
I was.
You were all in. So, I mean, there's been a shift.
There's been a shift for me. Yes. I think when you're old like I am.
When you get older, yeah.
And you don't have the best physique like I don't have. The more clothes you wear, the better. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. And so, you know, a suit, it just helps, right? What we should say is your garments should not distract
that's
from
it.
The message.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? But obviously, there was a time, brothers and sisters, 20 years ago, you always wore a suit.
Yeah.
Today, it is rare you see a man in a suit and tie preaching.
Only funerals and weddings.
Yes.
About. Yeah.
Is it coming back? No. Only in a small segment of some of the Reformed guys and that kind of thing. Other than that, I think in general, it's not coming back. Yeah. Now, part of that is this large church I've seen, there's nobody in suits at all. So the pastor doesn't look all that out of place because other people aren't coming in suits.
That's right.
And so, you know, 30 years ago, every man came in a suit.
They were all wearing suits.
But now nobody does. So if you're the only one in a suit, maybe it looks a little weird, you know. So, but suits and ties have really gone away.
Okay, what about the organ? That's the next one.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely gone away. I don't see it really coming back all that much.
They're expensive. I mean, you think about church plants.
Well, they're expensive and they're hard. Having an organist is not an easy person to find. Right. Yeah. But on the other hand, dude, if you've ever heard congregational singing with a really good organ, it's like, whoa, that is heavy.
Dude, I grew up with an organ and it was loud. I mean, I remember it would be loud.
Mm-hmm.
It was powerful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're right. It's not, you don't see the organ much anymore.
No, and I'll tell you where you do see it is in churches that want to give them away. You see that all the time. We have an organ. Would you like to have it?
Well, it's identified more with the high church and, you know.
Yeah, that's
true.
Now, that's true.
In the black church culture, the Hammond B3 is very much a part of worship.
That's true.
That has not gone anywhere.
Yeah, that's right. That's
absolutely.
Right.
But in most most Anglo churches, if that's the right word, there was a time when the organ was absolutely mandatory.
Yeah.
You had a church, you had an organ.
Yeah.
I mean, period.
Period.
That's gone away and probably not coming back.
What about print newsletters?
Oh, man, those were everywhere.
You mean as opposed to email?
Yeah.
I mean,
so the digital world has sort of taken over.
Yeah, there was a time when every church had a printed newsletter and you got it every week and there was never anything in it worth reading, but you got it anyway. And, you know, the pastor would have an article and you'd have the schedule and the deacon of the month and the deacon of the week and, you know, maybe the offerings, maybe the attendance. And that basically what the secretary did was do the newsletter every week.
Yeah.
And she, you know, that was her job. But obviously, two things. Certainly the cost of mail and the cost of printing and that email and now electronic is free. So definitely I think the church newsletter has gone away.
Yeah.
Probably not coming back.
Yeah, yeah. Prolonged and frequent business meetings.
Yes. There was a time when monthly business meetings were mandatory. If you were a Baptist church, you had a monthly business meeting. As we used to say, you had a monthly BM, whether you needed to or not.
That's true. Yeah.
So you had a monthly business meeting.
When would typically you have them? Would they be like after
No,
after
a special church? Wednesday night.
Wednesday
a special
night.
Wednesday night.
It'd be like
night.
Usually the second Wednesday night of the month, the first Wednesday night of the month, after worship, after prayer meeting, the church council would meet maybe, or the finance committee. But then the second Wednesday night of the month would be the business meeting. And you didn't even have prayer meeting that night. Prayer took a back seat. You might say a few prayers, but we're doing church business. And you passed out the minutes from the last one, and you read the minutes, and the minutes were approved as read. And then you basically heard reports from everybody, only most people weren't there and didn't give reports anyway. The library committee, the youth committee. The finance committee gave a report, and maybe the Sunday school committee gave a report, and that kind of thing. And then you had old business and new business, and it was just, And some of them would be prolonged because everybody had a right to say whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Church governance was just a mess. Those are going away.
Yeah. I love what Rainer called. He said a church leader called it the monthly fist fight. You know, that's kind of what it was.
The monthly fist fight. So those are going away. But it was very much a part of our culture.
I would say, now for us as a Baptist church, we have now quarterly business meetings that we call family meetings. And yes, there is business that is part of that. Obviously, we're congregational. But we try to use it as a time to celebrate what God's doing and sharing stories of what the Lord's doing in different ministries. I think, again, when I just think of an old school business meeting, I think, man, boring, and what are we doing?
Yeah.
I think it is an opportunity to get members together and make it meaningful, you know? But that takes some intentionality, too. And that takes some planning and getting people involved and... Anyway,
and the old school business meetings were very much like the the monthly meeting you would have for the Rotary,
yeah,
or for the Lions Club. It was literally a business
meeting.
That's
all it was. Yeah.
It was all it was. Yeah. And then it was also a chance for everybody to give their opinion on whether we should paint the porch or redo the roof, or should we extend the copier lease. And then we get down to the minutiae of how much are we paying for that copier lease and how many copies are we making, and do we – I mean, it would get into the minutiae of it.
Oh, that would be so
painful. And some of you who are listening to me, you are still stuck in that world.
Yeah. What happens in so many churches like this is that's the one – it's at night – the one night of the month when we put the Bible aside and follow the Robert's Rules of Order.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and it's like, we got to follow that.
Yeah, it's interesting. The larger the church, the fewer the business meetings anymore. A lot of large mega churches just have one or two a year, and they're very perfunctory. Just like, we're going to pass the budget, and that's it.
Yeah.
So they are going away. Monthly business meetings, long monthly business meetings are going away.
Let's do a couple more here before the end of this. What about the name of Sunday school for the groups in the church?
Yes, that again, you know. Oh, I shouldn't say this. Should I say this? I shouldn't say
Let's take a vote. We should vote on it. We should have a business meeting and vote on it.
Why don't we just say,
I'm in deep trouble. But you know, you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig, all right?
Okay.
So, I mean, you can call it whatever you want. But if your Sunday school's not working, changing the name to fellowship groups or small groups is not going to change it.
No, that's right.
And I see many dying churches, declining churches, and we don't have Sunday school anymore. I remember
life groups.
Yeah. I was preaching at a church about 2 years ago that was a First Baptist church, not here but somewhere else, and it was in deep decline. I mean, it was a shadow of its former self, and they had two services, which was ridiculous. The first service, honestly, had about 30 people in it. The second service had about 60, and the sanctuary seat 200. But they had two services because one was contemporary and one was not. And so, you know. So anyway, the first one was not contemporary. It was traditional. So I'm preaching at that one, and when I get done, these two older ladies walk past me, and she says, "You ready to go to Sunday school?" And the other old lady says, "We don't have Sunday school anymore. Remember, we have these life connection groups." And she was just real terse about it.
Yeah.
But they went to the same room. They taught the same lesson.
It's the same thing.
I don't know. It's like, you know how I feel about changing the church's name. Changing the name doesn't make any difference at all.
Yeah.
And some of you out there, you feel like Sunday school has a bad rep. I don't know. I mean, maybe it does. I don't know. But definitely, I would say it's going away.
Yeah.
Now, I would say in some cases, I see a resurgence of guys going, "We got to get back to Sunday school."
Oh, I agree.
And the reason is, our people do not come during the week to anything.
They're there.
They're already there.
Exactly.
So maybe we need to have Sunday school.
I agree, man.
And certainly for parents, the idea of my kids in Sunday school has sort of a nostalgic strong draw.
That's right.
I mean, kids aren't in life groups. They're in Sunday school.
They're in Sunday school.
Five-year-olds are in Sunday school.
That's right.
So I think maybe it's coming back, but it certainly went away.
I know. I like that. What I heard the other day about a church is referring to it now as Sunday Bible School.
Mm-hmm.
And because that really kind of defines what it is, you know. So I thought
that. Hey, let's finish this. The next one. We've already bored people too much with this one.
All right.
So we'll do the next one, which is a lot better than this one.
Oh, will it be?
Oh, you. I'm telling you what. It.
You don't want to miss this.
You're not going to believe. It's going to be the best podcast you've ever heard.
All right. We'll count on it. We'll see you the next time. And thank you to the North American Mission Board, by the way, for sponsoring this. We appreciate them letting us do this, and also to Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary for allowing us to use their room in their library where we've set up just for this podcast. So thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.